Okay, hello and welcome to your self-massage audio recording. And the reason I am not recording a video right now is because I really want you to listen and to visualize and to see yourself moving into this new habit. So I want to share a little bit of my story. Before I do, again, I just want to acknowledge that we all come from different places, and there may be some real pain in some memories that are around touch. And I want to acknowledge that if that's where you are, that I'm deeply sorry that you've had that experience, and invite you to move slowly with this habit and to listen as much as is available to you, as much as feels safe to you, and to reach out if you need anything. So Kate Stillman says that this is an opportunity to build back some of the love we were not given in our growing up process, right? And that could be directly related to a traumatic experience. It could also be just related to there not being attention to touch. And it also could be related to love that we haven't given ourselves. So when I first heard about this habit of Abhyanga, I thought it seemed a little excessive and impossible. And I actually recall standing in the shower stall at the Kripalu School of Ayurveda, where I was studying at the time, and putting oil on my skin lightly before a hot rinse off, before a 6 a.m. yoga practice. A classmate of mine was always a few steps in front of me, and her presence held me accountable. She could do it, so I could do it, I thought. She's one of the most kind, peaceful, and pleasant people I've met. We were later massage partners when we learned some basic Ayurvedic bodywork techniques, and so I also know she is attentive with her hands, her energy, and her loving touch. Sometimes, often for me, it takes seeing someone else getting up earlier or starting to work through a challenge that's before us to see them start to grow as a result of that challenge, as a result of their effort toward it, in order for me to feel more motivated to start to implement a new habit and be serious about it in that pursuit. So I started with just putting on the oil, like I used to put on a vino lotion in the past. And eventually I wanted to spend more time. I wanted the feeling of rubbing my skin, my muscles that I experienced on a massage table or in our classroom after a restorative yoga practice when my Ayurveda teachers first brought oil samples and taught us this practice initially. They encouraged us to move slowly, to pay attention to how we used our hands, to relax, to observe and enjoy the process. I wanted to experience that more often than just when someone handed me the tools during a class or when I was able to pay for a massage. More times than when I'd already committed to having that experience, to being somewhere where it just almost happened to me. Either I was given the tools or someone did the massage for me. I really wanted it daily. So slowly I added in the crucial places, my feet, my hands, my lower back, my lumbar spine, my abdomen, my earlobes, and the crown of my head. With these alone, I felt more present and grounded. So if you're starting with just one part of you and one of these parts feels accessible, I suggest starting there. So feet are the action organ of the eyes. When we see something, we can respond with our feet and with our hands. The abdomen and the lumbar spine corresponding with the digestive organs. Sometimes the lumbar spine, we can feel pain. If there's constipation, there can be tension in the low back. The earlobes connected with the sensory perception of hearing, and that being connected with ether. And if we have ringing in our ears or we're overstimulated with sound, a massage in the ears can be very grounding. Same with the crown of our head. So once a week, I would boil some water and I'd pour the water into a bowl, and then I'd set my oil jar in the bowl. So I have my oil in a little glass jar. And then I'd go into my bathroom and close the door. And the vent in the house that I lived in when I started this practice was close to the thermostat. And when the door closed to the bathroom, the heat just started pumping and made it a really cozy space. I'd turn off the light. I'd light a few candles. I'd place my oily old swim towel from before high school, which I still have, on the toilet seat and then under, or on the toilet lid rather, and then under where my feet would land. I'd begin chanting the Maha Mrityunjaya mantra, the great death conquering mantra that I was taught in Ayurveda school to accompany body work and cooking. It's an invitation to surrender to rhythm and abandon habits of seeking to control my surroundings. Like any chant, it evoked a sense of calm, ease, and perhaps most importantly, patient, non-rushing awareness. This chant in particular pays homage to Lord Shiva, the manifestation of the divine powers to destroy that which is not aiding us, to protect and to transform. In the chant, we acknowledge divine power to restore health, strengthen us, and gladden us, and liberate us. And both the arts of massage and cooking are arts of transformation or change, of creating something new, of bringing about a new form that will better serve us. I'll chant this one time in case you'd like to practice it on your own. I'll also share a link with you. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urdhvarupami Bhavandhanam Mrityor Mukshiyamamritat. So whether or not you chant or offer a prayer, you may consider that this is a true time of transformation or an opportunity for it, a daily offering of your body as a temple to clear and to cleanse and make way for what will ultimately bring you in contact with your why and how you will deeply benefit those around you and those around them and then all living beings when you practice this habit. It's something to really bring into your awareness when you're struggling with any habit. How will it benefit me? How will it benefit those I come into contact with? And how might that then trigger a response in those around them? If I'm embodied, if I'm present, if I'm more confident, what's the ripple effect? In many ways, this can be a humbling meditative practice of worship. Most often, my massage begins at the crown of my head and moves slowly towards my feet. Particularly, the past several years have beckoned me to slow, to ground, to settle, to soften, to trust, to let go, and to relax. I didn't need any stimulation, not even at 6 a.m. Often I would do a weekly longer practice in the evening and skip the shower and then let the oil seep into my skin underneath my pajamas that I didn't mind getting a little oily love. Sometimes I'd even cover my head with the hood of my sweatshirt and I'd be sure to have all my clothes and socks in the bathroom ready for me when I finished. And then with a hot cup of tea, I'd crawl into bed, read a bit, and sleep ever so deeply. It was at least 2 years before I found a daily practice that was somewhere between moisturizing with oil and a lengthy 20-minute slow massage. Currently, I spend about 5 minutes a day after my shower. Leaving the oil on my skin all day is nourishing and grounding for me. For some, it can feel heavy, which is one reason why it's traditionally recommended that we do this practice before we bathe, so that we be feeling light and motivated. If you're somebody who tends towards anxiety, feeling ungrounded and disconnected or overwhelmed, is very busy or driving or moving a lot, then you may do okay with leaving the oil on throughout the day. I notice that I'm not keeping up with this habit when my back gets dry, kind of above my kidneys, in spots that I may not moisturize even with the quickest oil massage. And I feel less grounded. So it's just that awareness of, oh, my skin is dry is a hint to me that I'm not I don't have enough fluid in my body, and this is one of the ways that I nourish myself with oil. So a few years ago, I was having, maybe just a year or two ago, I was having some trouble with my vision. It's getting worse over the years, and I have astigmatism, so for some people that makes everything look a little blurry. For me, it's now starting to do that. Some things seem blurry, if unfortunately, but at that time it was more that I would just have to extremely focus my eyes and then I'd get a headache. So even with my glasses, I was struggling, and I was in school at the time, and my teacher recommended foot massage. And like I said before, we respond to each of the sensory organs, right? To the sense of hearing, to the sense of touch, to the sense of eyesight, to the sense of taste, and the sense of smell with some kind of action. And for our vision, we respond with our hands and our feet. So if you imagine you saw somebody walking up, you might get up and go to embrace them, right? If they were somebody you knew, that is the way that we move toward things. And the eyes are also connected with the element of fire. So some of this is in your notes from earlier in the course, but the reason she wanted me to massage my feet was that that might invite a relaxation, not only of the organ of action, but the organ of sensation. And what I noticed is when I massage my feet with the cooling coconut oil, that I relaxed, that I didn't need to focus on anything. I didn't need to really see anything. I could be with my eyes closed. And if nothing else, it gave me a break. It gave my eyes some rest. I felt more easeful when I did this. So that's a particular experience with self-massage that really helped to heal me. So once you start to practice regularly, you might find that you're more aware of sensation in your body, that like with other habits, you become more sensitive to what you need. This is not a bad thing. This is presence, connection, and it allows you to respond with more attention and intention. You might have absorbed messaging your whole life, like being sensitive is a sign of weakness, or at least thought to be reserved for times when you're not expected to be productive or decisive. I don't know about you, but I wasn't ever taught much from any leader in my life about times when I didn't need to be productive or decisive. My life was chock full of scheduled expectations, including a little bit of sleep. None of my time until recent adulthood invited attentiveness to myself beyond hunger, exhaustion, severe pain, mental desire for success, a vague inquiry of emotional well-being, and a fairly cerebral belief in the existence of God. I felt and was named odd, weird, and it was pointed out to me not as a good thing when I first began to pay more attention to my heart, to the spirit within me, because it required attention and energy that was previously dedicated to looking and thinking a certain way. I began to change. At first, with this shift, before I knew about Ayurveda, my body was becoming less fit because I was starting to deepen the inquiry inside. And with the study of Ayurveda and the nudge of her wisdom, the knowledge of life, paying attention to nature around me and within me, I began to integrate care for my whole being, aware that health includes a mind, a soul, and senses that are full of bliss, in addition to our organs, our digestive organs, our tissues functioning well, our waste products eliminating completely. Abhyanga is a practice that taps into this whole. And if you're open to it, will transform the way you see yourself and your connection to the greater whole. Pause for a moment and notice how you're feeling. If you're feeling hesitant, especially if your self-worth or whether or not you deserve this, if you've earned it, or you're intrinsically valuable enough to receive your own touch, hear this, and at the same time, start massaging your scalp. So in Dr. Sander L. Kuhl's study of college students with low self-esteem in the Netherlands, participants who received touch reported lower levels of anxiety and a greater sense of comfort than those who in the non-touch groups. This held true whether the touch came from a human or a teddy bear. These participants either received or did not receive a hand on their shoulder when asked about fears of death or the dentist. It seems that when struggling to find meaning in life, feeling connected to others by way of touch brought or brings comfort. How's your massage going on your scalp? Maybe you want to make your way into your facial muscles. I know from personal experience that often when I share a story or seek empathy from another, it's rooted less in a desire to connect with someone else and more in a desire to validate my own story, my own truth. I feel more connected when I listen often than when I speak. Massaging my own skin is an act of acknowledgement of my own worth. It validates my presence. It enables me to be more fully present and available to others, to listen, to connect, and to share without being focused on seeking validation, and in fact, to feel confident and joyful. How about you? I love this quote from Shauna Nyquist's Present Over Perfect. She writes about her transition from more and more and more to less and less and less. Even though you are adding a new habit here, it's a habit about getting present to your need for less. She says, I'm going to find a new way of living that allows for rest, as much rest as I need, not just enough to get me through without tears, but enough to feel alive and whole, grounded and gracious. Are you still massaging? Go for it. Notice how you feel. Notice what's changing. Are you breathing deeply? Is there more circulation? More warmth in your hand, more flexibility in the part of you you're rubbing. Consider how this might benefit you as you age. You can continue with this massage as long as you'd like.